The second reading is taken from Matthew 6, verses 1 to 4, and that can be found on page 970. Giving to the needy. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And very good morning to you. Lovely to see you all. Let me add my welcome. My name's Warwick Martin. I am the curate here. And we're going to look together at those verses in Matthew chapter 6. So do please turn back to those. And let me pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for little Andrew Sleeman. We thank you for the joy of seeing him baptized. And we thank you for your word to us. Though we know, Lord, at times it is challenging. Pray that you would speak to us this morning by your Spirit. Help us to be faithful. Lord, would help me to be faithful as I speak. And would you give us ears to hear and hearts and wills to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, can we have the first? There we go. Right, question. What have these four got in common? Dame Judi Dench, Brad Pitt, my lookalike. I don't know what's funny about that. Keira Knightley and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Any ideas? They are actors. Absolutely. Brownie point to you. Did better than the 9 o'clock. They are actors. They love to tread the spiritual boards. They love to tread the boards. You know, obviously, with Brad and with Judy and with Keira, it's Hollywood. It's the West End. They love being in the spotlight. They love putting on a show. They love to be seen and applauded. And in a sense, that is also true with many of the Pharisees and teachers of the law at that time that were in the crowd listening to Jesus preach his most amazing Sermon on the Mount. They may not have graced the West End stage, but they love to tread the boards, spiritually speaking. They love to be in the spotlight, to put on a religious show, to be seen and applauded. You see, verse 2 in our passage today, Jesus describes them as hypocrites, which originally meant actors. You see, the Pharisees, they would put on this dazzling display of righteousness, but often it was more of a show for their benefit. It was a bit like the last McDonald's scratch card that I got. On the outside, full of promise, but scratch beneath the surface and nothing there. Ugh. So here in these verses, Jesus gives these hypocrites that love to tread the spiritual boards. He gives them a warning. And of course, not just them, but us too, if we fall into that same trap. And the things that we do for God are actually, well, more show than sincerity. More about our glory than his. So as we look at this passage this week, and indeed over the next few weeks, I think we need to do some heart surgery to open our hearts and think honestly, am I the genuine article? Now, I realise we don't have pure motives, but are my righteous acts, the things that I do for God, are they just a show that's more about me taking centre stage, me looking good, than God? Are we treading the spiritual board, so to speak? And if so, Jesus says, be careful. Be careful. Well, Jesus began his sermon with the Beatitudes, the recipe for the good life in God's countercultural kingdom. And he was highlighting what the Christian character should look like. He went on to say that if we live those characteristics out, we will become salt and light to those around us. And Jesus then explained that our righteousness should surpass even the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. A righteousness that, of course, is only found in him. And he then went on to describe what that looks like, using a number of examples: murder, adultery, divorce, oaths, and so on. And now in our verses today, he comes to a new section and stretches from chapter 6, verse 1, through to chapter 6, verse 18. And while the overarching theme is still righteousness, what he's doing here is zeroing in on this issue of hypocrisy. Verse 1 is the headline summary, if you like, for what follows. And then Jesus gives three examples of what he means. Giving to the needy in verses 2 to 4, which we'll think about in a moment. Prayer, verses 5 to 14. And then fasting, verses 16 to 18. These are the three great Jewish acts of righteousness, which Jesus refers to in verse 1, the acts of righteousness. So let's start with a headline in verse 1, which, as you see, comes in the form of a warning. Be careful. Verse 1, Jesus says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Now, by acts of righteousness, Jesus means those things that we do as Christians that flow out of our relationship with him. And whether that is giving to the needy or praying or fasting or anything else that we do for God, I mean, clearly those are good things to do. But not, says Jesus, when our reason for doing them is actually our own glory and not God's. You know, so we do things in front of people to be seen by them, to be praised by them, to be applauded by them, to get a big pat on the back. No. Jesus is really drilling down into our heart motivation here. Why do we do the things that we do for God? The danger is that our good works, they may have all the impression of godliness and sincerity, but if they are not sincere, if deep down we're not so much to God be the glory, great things he has done, as to me be the glory, great things I have done. If that's the purpose, truly, of our acts of righteousness, then Jesus warns us, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. You know, if you're aiming to impress others, yes, you'll get the plaudits, you'll get the praise, but that's all you'll get. You'll get nothing from God. Your good works are empty. You know, when I used to be an apprentice at another church, I remember a minister coming and speaking to us. And he told us how he started off in ministry and everything he touched turned to spiritual gold. He could do no wrong. You know, his sermons were amazing. Everybody was praising him. He did Christianity Explored. Everybody became Christians. You know, everything turned to gold, and he was doing more and more and more and more until God brought him down to earth with a huge bump in terms of his health. And he realized, as he looked back, that his ego had been getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and all his ministry that he thought he was sincerely doing for the Lord, he was actually doing for himself. It was all about, look at me, look at me. Not look at God. Now, I guess this is an issue that we all need to confront. I mean, especially if we are in some form of public ministry, like music or sidesmen or Sunday school or midweek groups or doing the flowers or preaching or PCC or coffee or whatever it might be. What is our motivation for doing those acts of righteousness? Is it to serve the King? Or actually, is it to serve ourselves, to be seen and appreciated? Because if it is, if what we do for God is more about us taking center stage than him, there is no reward from God. Because after all, they're not really acts of righteousness, are they, if they're about us and not him? So that's the headline for the next 17 verses. If the things that we do for God, you know, are more of a spiritual show, we do them to be seen and appreciated by others, to draw their praise. If that's where they're coming from, rather than coming out of love and gratitude to God for his goodness and what he's done for us in Christ Jesus, out of a desire to love him and faithfully obey him and for him to be glorified rather than ourselves. If that's the case, we will receive no reward from God. Then in verses 2 to 4, Jesus moves on and he says, look, okay, let me give you an example. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Let's take giving to the needy. Now, know what Jesus says at the beginning of verses 2 and 3. He doesn't say, if you give to the needy. He says, when you give to the needy. I think the Bible's clear that caring for people's practical needs is a key part of what it means to be a Christian and a church. And I think there are some great examples of that here at Christ Church. And Jesus confirms it here as he commands us to give to the needy. And along with evangelism, which of course is fundamental, I think that it is a vital way of loving our neighbour as ourselves. It's the right thing for us to be doing. So Jesus says, look, when you give to the needy, first, don't give to seek others' approval. Verse 2. So when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by men. Now, Jesus may have been speaking metaphorically here, but I think he was speaking literally. Because you see, on occasion, the trumpets would sound in the temple, calling the citizens of Jerusalem together to give to some particular need. So you can imagine the opportunity for show and ostentation there would have been. I mean, just imagine, you know, the days going on and suddenly you hear the trumpets go off. And so quickly you shut your shop, you hasten down the road towards the temple, strutting proudly as you go. Everyone's eyes on you. You're center stage. They know where you're going. They know you're going to the temple to put money into the coffers. How righteous I am. Who are they serving? Are they serving the Lord? Or are they serving themselves? It's pretty perverse, isn't it? That what should be an act of mercy and self-sacrifice could well have become an act of self-service. And Jesus says, verse 2, I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Yes, as they walk down the street, they may well have received the approval of others, big pat on the back, as others looked on, but that's it. There'd be no reward from God, as he said back in verse 1. Now, hypocrisy can be incredibly subtle, I think, when it comes to giving. You know, we may well believe that we are serving the Lord and that we have others' best interests at heart, but it is all too easy to start serving ourselves and actually acting in our best interest rather than anybody else's. I wonder if one example might be something like this. Okay, did you know that Britain is the world's fifth most charitable country? That's pretty good. US is top, then Ireland, then Australia, New Zealand, and then us. Now, you think of big events like Children in Need or Red Nose Day, and people and corporates like this, they do fantastic work raising money for the needy. But then so often, when they've finished, you see one of the bosses on the TV handing over a whopping great check in all senses of the word. But why present the big check? Why not just give anonymously? Because surely it's as much, if not more so, of a PR exercise for the company that it is about those in need. It's about them being honoured by men rather than those in need and drawing their praise. Now, what about us as individuals? You know, I know someone who has raised thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds for a particular charity. He has worked so hard. He has done a fantastic job. And yet, almost every time I speak to him, he can't help but blow his trumpet about his unsurpassed record. Why? Well, I guess because he wants the plaudits, doesn't he? He wants the praise. It's more for himself, really, than the people that he's helped. And actually, it's incredibly easy to do, isn't it? Just to let a little remark slip out that'll make us look good and win others' approval. Or to see our name down as a subscriber to a charity and to let it boost our own ego. to get fixated about totals that we've raised. Let's not blow our own trumpet. Our motivation for giving to the needy shouldn't be the approval of others. And nor, says Jesus in verse 3, should we give to seek our own approval. Now, by that I mean, you know, that we give to congratulate ourselves, to give ourselves a big pat on the back. Verse 3, but when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Now, of course, this can't be literal because we need to plan when we give. But Jesus is using an extreme picture here to stress how secret our giving should be. Not only shouldn't we tell others about our giving, but there's a sense in which we shouldn't even tell ourselves, because Jesus knows how sinful our hearts can be. He knows that temptation to gloat over our own charity, to keep dwelling on our generosity and to self-congratulate ourselves and to get all self-righteous, to take the glory ourselves. So he says, don't give for others' approval, don't give to seek your own approval, but give to seek God's approval. Verse 3 again. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. In other words, when we give, we're to do it so secretly that no one else knows what we're doing. In fact, we ourselves barely know what we're doing. There's only one witness, the Lord God, who sees what we do in secret. And as God sees us give, you know, our hearts stirred by compassion for others, stirred by a desire to obey Jesus and his commands, stirred by thankfulness for God's goodness to us and a desire to see him honoured. As he sees that, so he rewards us. What does that reward look like? Maybe it's future heavenly rewards. If Jesus' comment back in chapter 5, verse 12, is anything to go by. But equally, it might be present rewards. You know, perhaps the joy of seeing someone's need relieved and knowing that we had a part in that to play. I mean, maybe it's both. God is so very generous. But keeping our giving private is wise, I think, because it safeguards us, particularly from seeking others' approval, and it ensures that we really are acting righteously toward the Lord. So there's the first example of what Jesus is talking about in verse 1. Giving to the needy. We'll look at prayer next week. But on this issue, it is worth considering, isn't it? Do we give to the needy as Jesus commands? Be that time or financially? And many of us will do that through our giving to Christ Church as we support various charities here. But do we give? Do we give to the needy? And if we do give on the street or to church or to charity, what is it that drives us? What's our motivation? Is it others' approval? To be seen by others? Is it self-congratulation? Is it to obey Jesus' commands? And when we give, are we giving for God's eyes only, as privately as we can? Or is there a sense of treading the spiritual boards, you know, putting on a show of righteousness in front of others to seek their praise? It's all too easy to think that we are serving the Lord when we're actually turning the spotlight back on ourselves. Well, as I close, does anyone know what this is? You got any art buffs in the congregation? Don't worry, I didn't have a clue about this either. Okay, this is the 1915 painting, Landschaft mit Pferden. Sarah, how was that? Not bad. Yeah, okay. In English, that means landscape with horses. Okay, it was painted by Heinrich Campendonk, bought by Steve Martin in 2004 for $60,000. Okay, what about this one? Come on. Okay, this is the 1928 painting, The Forest, painted by Max Ernst. This was bought by the French magazine publishing mogul Daniel Filippacci for $7 million in 2006. What have the two paintings got in common? Any ideas? They're fake. They were painted by Wolfgang Fischer, who evidently as early as 14 years old painted a passable Picasso in just one day. The boy can paint. Now, these paintings are utterly convincing. They look utterly genuine, which is why they sold for such ridiculous prices. But they're not the genuine article. They're what's called gold standard fakes. Friends, when it comes to Jesus, let's not be gold standard fakes. You know, we may have all the genuine hallmarks, but that's no guarantee. Let's strive to be the real thing. Let's pray to the Lord to help us to be the real thing, to be sincere. I pray that would be true for all of us. I pray that would be true for little Andrew. That as he learns how gracious and merciful God's been to needy people like us, how much he's given to save us from spiritual bankruptcy through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. That Andrew would seek to love Jesus as his precious Lord and Saviour. That he would seek to obey his commands, and that he would show similar grace and mercy to others in need. In fact, may we all. And we must be careful not to practice our acts of righteousness in front of others to be seen. Because yes, we'll earn their praise as we tread those spiritual boards. But that's it. That's all we'll get. And so when it comes to giving to the needy, for example, let's give as Jesus commands, but let's do it in secret, not to be seen, that we might honour the Lord, knowing that our Father, who sees what is done in secret, so graciously rewards us. Let me pray. Gracious Father, we thank you that you are indeed a God of grace and a God of mercy. We praise you for that. Praise you that you are a God who rewards, even though we don't deserve it. Lord, please help us to be sincere. Give us the strength to be sincere in what we do for you, to seek your glory, not our own, be it with giving to the needy or anything else. Lord, please guard our hearts. Help us not to be hypocrites, but to point people to you and not ourselves, and to seek your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.